I remember when I was at college, one of my lecturers coming out with the fact that the highest known living organism to man, living in the air, was yeast spores. From memory, it was at the height of several miles high, blowing around in the atmosphere. According to Wikipedia, there are 1,500 different types of yeast spores. Now, I never knew that. And they range in size from 3 micrometres, or 3/1000ths of a millimetre, up to the large ones, which are 40/1000ths of a millimetre. It's interesting that yeast, which represents sin, is invisible to the naked eye. And it's all around us in the air. We breathe them in, these yeast spores, in every breath. And they're on the food that we eat. And yet we can't see them. They are tiny. And yet they ferment sugars in different foods and things and fruits. And fermenting them. But these yeast spores need the right conditions to start fermenting, to start turning these sugars into the carbon dioxide that actually puffs up and leavens our bread. Many years ago, before commercial yeast was available, after the days of unleavened bread, how did people start making leavened bread again? Well, I'm not a chef and I'm not a whiz in the kitchen, But I looked it up online. Apparently you take 1 cup of plain unbleached flour, 1 cup of warm water, add them together and you put it into a jar at between 70 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Every day you take half this mixture, throw it away, and you top it up with half a cup of flour and half a cup of water. And you put it back in the warm space, and after 3 or 4 days you will have a bubbly, beery-smelling starter mix, apparently. So to create this leavened mix, the natural yeast that is all around us in the air needs certain environment and a certain period of time to start that fermentation process. It's interesting. Satan broadcasts his attitudes throughout this air, throughout the world. The little sin spores entering our mind. Satan is the father of lies. But he was and he was the first being ever to sin. But he was created perfect. If you turn with me, please, to Ezekiel 28, we just see how beautiful Lucifer was when he was created. Ezekiel 28, and in verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub, in verse 14, who covers. I established you, and you were on the holy mountain of God, and you walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. So it's the abundance of your trading, or another translation, by the multitude of your merchandise. Something that takes time. You don't get an abundance of something straight away. You don't get a multitude of things straight away. We don't know how long it was before when he was created perfect to when he first sinned. But it wasn't straight away. Just like the yeast spores in the air. They take time to start fermenting. And they need the right process in order and the right environment in order to breed and ferment. But how do we stop the right environment being created? Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. Because here we're given advice on how to stop the environment required for sin to ferment in our minds, to lead us the wrong way. 2 Corinthians 10, and in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Excuse me. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we are told to bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, making sure that these thoughts, these yeast spores, spiritual yeast spores, do not have the environment required for them to grow and to divert us from the way. And if you turn with me, please, to John 15. Because we are told here that we cannot do it ourselves. John 15 and in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, it says in verse 5 that we can do nothing of ourselves. For without me you can do nothing, it says. And in verse 10, we are to keep the commandments, to subject ourselves to Christ and God the Father's authority, to place ourselves below them. If we pray daily, these spores do not receive the right conditions to grow. We stay close to the vine. They do not ferment in our minds. But if we go without prayer and without study, we are creating conditions that are right for those spores to take hold and start fermenting. Lucifer, the morning star, one of the top-ranking angels, who is now Satan, the adversary, would still be an angel of light if he followed the way, if he subjected himself to the way of God, if he had stayed close to God daily, and if he had brought all his thoughts into captivity and subjected them to the obedience of Christ, the Word, the one who created him, as its two counterparts did, Gabriel and Michael. And in 1 John 3, we have a glimpse of one day when we will be like God, unable to sin. 1 John 3, and in verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness or transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Today, when we are still human and fleshly, we are to strive to be like our elder brother and like God the Father. But one day, when we are turned into spirit beings, we will be like our elder brother and God the Father, who are unable to sin. So in the run-up to Passover, we examined ourselves and we drew close to God and the vine. We've just kept the Passover and we are here today keeping the commanded holy days. We kept the Sabbath just a couple of days ago. This afternoon we will be taking up an offering. We are keeping the commands that we have been given, subjecting ourselves underneath God the Father and Christ. Just as yeast spores need the right environment to grow and to ferment, so sin needs the right environment in our minds to take hold. The days of unleavened bread picture the removal of sin from our lives and the placing of the unleavened way of God into us. We are removing the conditions that sin needs to ferment in our minds. But it is not through our strength that we are able to bring these thoughts into captivity. We have to place them under the authority and the obedience of Christ to make sure that they do not take us off track. So let us learn the lesson of the yeast spores, the small thoughts of sin, which if not brought into captivity under the authority of Christ, will start to ferment us in our mind. Let us strive to stay close to God the Father and Christ so that our minds do not offer those spores of sin the right conditions required to grow and puff up and to lead us down the route that Lucifer took.